Good morning, Central. It's a great honor to have with us once again the chaplain of the United States Senate, Dr. Barry Black. And I think his wife, Brenda, is Brenda here somewhere? 11 o'clock. She's come to 11 o'clock service. Well, I can tell you this, if you get a chance to meet her, that Chaplain Black outpunted his coverage when he married Brenda. But they say that about me all the time, so we're in good company. Pastor Wheeler had an opportunity about 4 years ago this time to serve as the chaplain in the United States Senate. And so he had the whole day open the session with prayer and got an opportunity to interact with and spend time, a lot of time with Chaplain Black and with some of my colleagues in the Senate. And so, Wheels, of course, thought that he ought to reciprocate and allow Chaplain Black to come here and be pastor for a day at Central. So anyway, a couple of years ago, Chaplain Black was out here, as some of you may remember, and we're really honored to be able to get him back. I mean, it is very hard to get the chaplain of the United States Senate to speak. In fact, what we found out last time is you have to plan not only months, but almost years ahead. He speaks all over the country and all over the world and is in demand, and when he's not fulfilling his duties in the Senate, is very much traveling across the country and sharing his witness, his testimony. And he is the, as I said, chaplain of the United States Senate, which essentially means he's a spiritual leader of the Senate. He opens a session with prayer. He leads Bible studies on a weekly basis for members, senators, and also for top staff. And I've told you this before, but I think it bears repeating, that the best hour of the week I spend is in Chaplain Black's Bible study. Because in a place where man's wisdom is greatly valued, Chaplain Black reminds us on a weekly basis that we are to pursue God's wisdom. And in a place where we kind of are fixated on the here and now, the daily news cycle, the temporal, the chaplain reminds us that we're to keep our focus on the eternal, on that which is not seen. And in a place that is known for political combat, the chaplain reminds us on a weekly basis that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual forces of darkness. And he is singularly focused on giving us, as senators who attend his study on a weekly basis, the tools to equip us to win that battle. And I love the fact that he spends so much time focusing on the Word and on the Scriptures and getting the Word into your lives. And he always talks about Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness, said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that the way for us to be successful and to stave off the temptations is to be able to be grounded in the Word on a daily basis. And then also to be able to take advantage of the power that's available to us through the Holy Spirit. And I'm just always in awe of his command of the Scriptures, the way, the Spirit-filled life that he lives, the example that he sets. And we live in a world where people look to political power and the levers of government to bring about change. But Chaplain Black reminds us on a weekly basis that real change comes through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what ultimately, the transforming power of the Spirit that changes hearts and changes lives in our country. And so it's a great honor for me to have him here. I know he loves Wheels, he loves Central, but the last time he was here, he had some desserts that he really wanted to come back and experience again. And he's got a very strict diet. He's very disciplined in what he eats. And so the fact that he can be tempted by some of the desserts is very reassuring to us mere mortals that even the chaplain of the United States Senate is tempted in that way. I'll just close by saying this. I have been around in a lot of churches, a lot of pastors, a lot of great teachers over the years. It's been a privilege to be able to be, sit under his teaching on a weekly basis. But if you really want to get a flavor for the chaplain and his message, the National Prayer Breakfast 2 years ago, you can Google it if you want to. You can Google it. But from Genesis to Revelation, I don't think I've ever heard a clearer presentation of the gospel message than I heard at that prayer breakfast. And if you just listen to the last 5 minutes, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But we are very blessed here to have Chaplain Black back here in our presence. And so I want to invite Dr. Barry Black, the Admiral, I might add, and the Chaplain of the United States Senate. Let's give him a warm central welcome. Thanks.
Praise the Lord, everyone. And the senator is correct. I did marry out of my depth, but praise God, when he got Kimberly, he was drowning. I can tell you, she pulled him out as we sing, "Love Lifted Me." And the truth be told, old Pastor Jeff, he did okay too with Charlene. So praise the Lord. We realize that God does immeasurably abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. And when you marry out of your depth, you have the good sense to know that you do not subject your wife to your preaching multiple times a day. Not if you want to keep the marriage strong. So Brenda, who heard me last evening and hears me in my little sermonettes more than she probably cares to, she will be at the 11 o'clock service. Philippians chapter 4 says there are saints in Caesar's household. A lot of times when we think of the political arena, we wonder whether or not there are morally and spiritually fit individuals on Capitol Hill even. And I want you to know that in your senator, Senator John Thune, you have one of the saints in Caesar's household. And it is my honor, Senator, to know you and to love you. We've been around for a long time, and he rarely misses a Bible study through the years. He is someone who is passionate about the Word of God. And as the philosopher Flip Wilson once observed, some of them will get that on the way home. What you see is what you get. So I thank God for that. Let's pray. Lord, make me just a nail upon the wall, fastened securely in its place. And then upon this thing so common and so small, hang a picture of your lovely face, that strangers as they pass may gaze upon the loveliness depicted there. And then upon their weary way, each radiant face might bear an image of your glory and your grace. Lord, let not one soul here this day think of me, the insignificant lump of clay. Only let me be just a nail upon the wall, holding your picture securely in its place. And if there are kudos, if there are compliments, let them go to Calvary. For it is in that name that is above every name, our crucified and risen Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, we praise you and thank you. Amen and amen. I want to talk about be blessed or blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. I was speaking at a group to a group of several hundred people immediately after the last presidential election. And I had already preached earlier. This was at a camp meeting in Pennsylvania, Pottstown, Pennsylvania. And they said, we'll have a Q&A. And so the moderator got up and he said, before Dr. Black speaks, I want to ask the audience a question. So I knew, you know, the antenna went up immediately. Oh, Lord, what's going on here? And he said, the question is this: how many of you in the audience believe that God was involved in the recent presidential election? Okay, I looked around. And not very many hands went up. So I said, okay, this is the setting and the environment that I'm in. So he said, all right, Chaplain Black, we're open. Would you open yourselves to the questions from this group? And I said, no. Before I field the questions, let me ask them a question. How many of you believe that God was involved in choosing Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in the days of Daniel? And these were biblically literate people. Almost every hand went up. I said, now wait a minute. I said, we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? We're talking about the man who said, heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it is for Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. Okay? We talk about that. Okay? Yes, you did not know that there were African Americans in the Bible? Okay. We're talking about the man who, when he could not remember a dream, said, kill all of the wise men, they've been playing me, make their homes dunghills. Okay? We're talking about the man whom God made eat grass after he said, is not this, after Nebuchadnezzar said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built? And then I said, how many of you are familiar with Daniel 1 verse 1? And no hands went up. I said, well, Daniel 1 verse 1 says, and God gave Nebuchadnezzar, God gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. I said, for people of faith, God is always involved. And when we think we are facing difficult and challenging times, he is simply giving us an opportunity to be blessed, to be a blessing. You see, without Nebuchadnezzar, we would not know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. We're blessed by their courage and blessed by their lives. Without Nebuchadnezzar, we would not know about Daniel and his ability with his special gift from God to interpret the dream of this crazy monarch, okay? Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't tell me what I've forgotten, you die. And Daniel said, don't let the king be hasty. Let me get with my posse and we will pray. Then Daniel said, you saw the image, head of gold, chest of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron mixed with miry clay. It's all in Daniel chapter 2. You are the head of gold. After you will follow another kingdom, the Medo-Persian Empire. After you another kingdom, Alexander the Great in Greece. After you another kingdom, Rome. The Iron Empire, as Edmund Gibbons calls it. And then feet of iron mixed with miry clay. A stone will come out of the mountain, not created by a hand, and smite the image. These young men, essentially prisoners of war, were blessed to be a blessing. And so are we. So are we? We're blessed to be a blessing because God expects it of us. That is why he created us. Matthew 5, 13 and 16. This passage tells us why we're blessed to be a blessing. You are the salt, not of South Dakota. You are the salt of the earth. Salt makes the environment more palatable. Think of grits without salt. It makes you tremble just the thought of grits without salt. My God. Frightens me, okay? Okay? Your environment should be more palatable because you were there. If you are a supervisor, people should not be high-fiving one another when you have a sick day. No, 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 no. You are the salt of the earth. Okay. And then he says, you are the light of the world. Illuminate the darkness. Dispel the ignorance. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. When you speak the word of God, you are releasing sanctifying forces in your world. You are bringing Christ to people, for he is the word made flesh. Bless to be a blessing. God expects you to be salt and light. And you don't always have to quote scripture. You can paraphrase scripture. Some of you know that I am gaveled in by a lawmaker each day, and it's a wonderful experience for me because I get to know the senior, the very senior senators. Usually the president pro tem does it. But when the president pro tem is not available, one of the junior lawmakers will gavel me in. The Senate will now come to order. The chaplain, Dr. Barry Black, will lead the Senate in prayer. So we had a new senator, and the senator was gaveling me in, and we were chit-chatting, and the senator said to me, you know, he said, chaplain, I believe this is the most challenging time in the history of our nation, you know, just making conversation. And I was startled when this lawmaker with a law degree from Harvard said that to me, and I paused and said, Lord, you know, you got to shoot up a prayer, Lord, give me wisdom. Yeah. And then I turned to the lawmaker and I said, well, you know, slavery was pretty bad too, Senator. We go hyperbolic. I mean, we exact, you know, oh, these are the most challenging. Really? Most challenging time that you can think of? Really? You know? And so, illuminate the darkness. Be like Caleb and Joshua when the majority states stated, we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers. The walls are too thick. Caleb and Joshua, remember, only two adults out of the 2 million folk who left Egypt, only two of the adults made it into the land of Canaan. Caleb and Joshua were the only two who made it into the promised land. Not even Moses made it in. Caleb and Joshua said, let us go up at once and possess this land, for we are well able to take it. After all, it is the land that God promised to us. Don't you remember how he made a highway through the Red Sea? Don't you remember how he gave us catered meals every day, manna falling from the sky? Don't you remember how our shoes didn't wear out, our clothing didn't wear out, how he gave us water out of a rock? We have selective amnesia when we forget how God has led this great land of ours, and he is not through with us yet. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So God expects for us to be salt and light, but God, we ought to be blessed to be a blessing because God empowers us to do that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I love this verse. Acts 1, verse 8 says, and you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Pastor Jeff, when I started out in the ministry, very young preacher, I was afraid that no one would ever respond to an appeal that I made. I underestimated the power of the force. Use the force, Luke. Use the force. I underestimated the power that he gives us. You will receive power. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You have a Savior who has your back. You have a Savior who will tell you, I've got this. You know? You have a Savior who will guide you. You have the power of God inside of you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. And so when I get up in the morning, like this morning, I roll out of bed. Fortunately, the beds in the hotel where you've got me staying, Pastor, they're low, so I can just roll out on my knees. Got a little pillow down there. I talk to the sovereign God of the universe. I get my marching orders. And I ask him for the wisdom that he promised in James 1:5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him or her ask of God who gives it liberally and won't resent the fact that you ask. James 1:5. You can stupid-proof your life. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, God says, if anyone lacks what, duh, you think, okay? You can stupid-proof your life. I tell our lawmakers, God is not going to let you do something long-term stupid on the day you ask him for wisdom. So for more than 50 years, including today, I have not missed a day getting locked and loaded with the wisdom, the supernatural wisdom of God. He empowers us. And then he tells us in Luke 11:13, we read it last evening, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more is your heavenly Father eager to give his Holy Spirit to those who ask? There is a by request only impartation of the Holy Spirit. An anointing that is yours by request only. And so now, and I guess it's been, as the last evening, over 30 years now, that on a daily basis, including today, I ask God for his Holy Spirit. So I ask him for wisdom, and I ask him for his Holy Spirit. And when I leave home to go to Capitol Hill, I am so armed and dangerous with supernatural power. Senator Thune, I wonder how I get through the metal detectors. That's how armed and dangerous I am. God, the wisdom of God. And because we are empowered by God, we are blessed to be a blessing. And so in our scripture, it is a wonderful story of someone who came to Jesus, Luke chapter 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law, okay, stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Our Lord replied, how do you read it? And this man knew the law, okay? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Jewish people had something called a phylactery. It was like a leather Fitbit that they wore around their waist, or around their wrist, that had scriptures in it. And one of the scriptures was the Shema, which they had to say throughout the day, in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God. And he's giving our Lord the Shema, because whenever Jesus was asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The rich young ruler and others asked him that. He basically boiled it down to love God and love your neighbor. Well, this was a lawyer. Okay. Jesus said to him, you've answered correctly, do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he said, it's cross-examination time. May I treat this man as a hostile witness, okay? He said to our Lord, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus was so cool, you know. He said, once upon a time, okay? And he tells this amazing story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This was such a notorious journey that it was called the Bloody Way. You started out in Jerusalem at 3,600 feet above sea level. You got down to 2,300 feet above sea level. You got to Jericho, 1,300 feet below sea level. You had literally a 3,600 feet drop, okay, to get to go 20 miles. And robbers were there. And they attacked. This man was attacked. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, most people traveling on this road, if they had anything valuable, would go in a convoy or a caravan. So it was actually recklessness that this man should be traveling solo on the road. He brought some trouble on himself, the scholars would tell us. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Now, don't blame the priest now, because the book of Numbers says that if you touched a dead body, and so if I help this wounded man, he dies in my arm, you will be unclean for 7 days, and you will miss your rotation in the temple service. I can't do that. So he had a legitimate theological reason. He passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, an assistant priest, okay, he came to the place and saw him, and he passed by on the other side because these robbers were notorious for using the wounded as a decoy to get you over in order to rob other folks. So, no, I'm not taking that bait. I'm going by. Good reasons for passing by. But then a man who knew he was blessed to be a blessing, a Samaritan, man of a different race, a man with a different accent, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him at the risk of perhaps being harmed and bandaged his wound, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. Yeah. Brought him to the Homewood Suites. Thank you, Pastor. And took care of him, like Pastor Jeff is taking care of me. Okay? So here was a man who had good credit, because the innkeeper, you know, they had a little something-something in the commercial business. The next day, he took out 2 denarii. That's 2 days' wages. And gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, you know my credit is good. You know me. I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. And then our Lord says to the lawyer, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Now today, we refer to the Good Samaritan. We refer to that man as the Good Samaritan. But in the time of Christ, the adjective good would never be used regarding a Samaritan. It would be like saying a good tax collector in the time of Christ. And so the lawyer, the expert in the law said, the one, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Are you blessed to be a blessing? God challenges us to be salt and light. God challenges us to use our anointing to make a difference in the lives of people. Are you blessing others as you interact with them? I tell our lawmakers, out yourself as a Christian. The old saw, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? Or would the judge throw out the summary judgment? You have brought me no evidence that this man, this woman is a Christian. Please, no. Don't waste the court's time. And I tell the lawmakers sometimes, you know, when you're giving your speech in the Senate chamber with C-SPAN 2 cameras rolling, throw in a Lord willing every now and then. You know, that startled the folks. You know, and I believe, Lord willing, that we will accomplish it. What did he just say? Is that a lawman who said that? Yeah. Somebody says to me, Chaplain Black, how you doing? I tell him I'm blessed by the best, feel sorry for the rest, trying to clean up the mess. Praise the Lord. Yeah, see, got to go poetic. Throw in your rap if you have to. Or I tell folk, I'm living the dream. I've got people around Capitol Hill now in the U.S. I'm living the dream. Blessed to be a blessing. You don't have to do anything dramatic. You are salt. You are light. Bring flavor to our world. Now, how do you do it? You have to help people even when they bring trouble on themselves. I told you, this man on the Jericho Road brought trouble on himself. Yeah. It's like traveling without a spare tire. Yeah. And yet, the Good Samaritan blessed him and helped him. Our Lord went out of his way to help even those who had brought trouble on themselves. He was crucified between two thieves. They brought trouble on themselves. And they died defiant. Matthew chapter 27 says both of them were cursing him. Just blankety blank, 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 blank. But then one of the thieves let out a string of expletives that shocked even his partner. Blankety blank, 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 blank. And his partner said, man, wait, Luke chapter 23, man, don't you have reverence for God? This was a Sunday school guy who got into trouble and ended up on it. Man, don't you have reverence for God, seeing we are in the same condemnation and we deserve it? We've brought trouble on ourselves, but this man has done nothing amiss. And then turning to our Lord, he gets the theological orthodoxy of soteriology, the science of salvation, all wrong. He should have said to Jesus, would you please, Master, let the imputed righteousness of your justification in the soteriological messianic thrust that you have brought to this world cover me with the robe of your righteousness. That was the formula. That's what he should have said. Instead, he said, can you hook a brother up? I mean, that is essentially what Lord remember me. He doesn't even get, not Lord save me, not Lord come in. Can you hook a brother up? Now, I'd be honest. I got to be, you know, a little self, a judicious self-disclosure. Had I been, I would have still saved him. But I would have had to take him through the, I say, so I'm Lord now, am I? You're just cursing me. I would have had to take him to the, no. Even though this man had brought trouble on himself, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who left the chants of cherubim and the songs of seraphim, who left unpolluted breezes and undarkened days to make a breakthrough at Bethlehem to see about you and to see about me, he said to this dying thief who had brought trouble on himself, I'm telling you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus is easier on folk than we are. You know, we would have had him before a church board or something. No, before you save him, no, we got to take him. No, he at least has to get rebaptized, Jesus, before you do that. We can't let him be at Central and not take him through the ringer. No, let's help those who even bring trouble on themselves. And the second thing God told me to tell you is help people from the diverse spectrum. From the spectrum of diversity, okay? Help people who don't look like you. Help people who don't sound like you, okay? Help people who have orientations that you may not agree with or embrace, that the The Good Samaritan didn't say to this wounded man, "Now I need to know your sexual orientation before I give you any help." Okay. We've got to reach out to everyone, because while we were sinners, Christ died for us. If he had waited for us to get it right, we would be lost. There's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. Two of my favorite senators, chaplain's not supposed to have favorites, but two of my, Senator Jim Lankford from Oklahoma and Senator Tim Scott. And these two senators got together with a project called Solution Sunday. And they asked people, how many of you have never invited home to dinner at your home a person of a different race? Okay. How many of you have never invited someone who doesn't look like you home for dinner? And they were startled at the fact that so many people never done that. In fact, I had to look at, let me think, you know, which is, you know, slow on the uptake. And then they challenged us and challenged others, you know, why not do that? You know, why not take a baby step toward blessing others and bringing greater unity to our nation and world by inviting home somebody who doesn't look like you, or may not sound like, may not pray "Our Father, which art in heaven," but pray "Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre." I mean, they sound different, or they different. Why? Hey, very interesting. I made that appeal at the National Cathedral. They invited me to speak there Martin Luther King Day. And I asked the congregation, how many of you have ever invited someone? Not very many hands went up. How many of you are willing to try that? Before I left the cathedral, I received more invitations home for dinner. It must have been 35 or 40. I said, no, that doesn't, no, we're not talking about the speaker. Heaven Black, could you come home for dinner today? No, that's not how it works. Help people across the spectrum of diversity. And then finally, if you're going to be blessed to be a blessing, help people in a practical way, not with mere words. We're good talking it. We talk a good game. You know? Bless you, my brother. Praise the Lord. You know? Yeah. The Lord is good all the time. You know, we're good at that. You know, Jesus bumper stickers, big Bibles. But if you, James says in James 2, he says, if someone is hungry, it's not enough to say, be filled, my brother, be filled. If someone is cold, and this is South Dakota, it's not enough to say, be warm, my sister, be warm. James chapter 2. In fact, he says in James 1, pure religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Practical. Do something. In the parable of the judgment in Matthew chapter 25, the judge of the universe divides the masses of humanity into two groups, sheep, goats. He asks six questions, and they have nothing to do with theological orthodoxy. The judge of the universe does not say, do you dip when you baptize or do you sprinkle? He doesn't say, is there alcohol in your communion wine or grape juice? Okay, all right, because we know And at the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, Jesus turned water into grape juice. Okay, but anyway, some of you will get that on the way home. Praise the Lord. Okay? All right? Now he says, did you feed the hungry? Matthew chapter 25, blessed to be a blessing. Did you give water to the thirsty? That's why our Lord had that encounter with that woman at the well. Did you give water to the thirsty? He gave her water that couldn't come from the well. There are people who are thirsty for the fulfillment and the hope that our Lord can give them. Our Lord said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And when we share Jesus, we are sharing the abundant life. Did you clothe the naked? Did you visit the sick? Did you minister to the incarcerated? Did you take care of the strangers in your midst? Are you helping in a practical way? I grew up in the inner city of Baltimore, Maryland. We call it the hood. I am here today because people in my church who were better off than my mom with my four siblings, that's round one, and then three more, okay? They blessed us. My church had a program where any child who wanted to go to a private Christian school, if the parents didn't have the money, the church paid for it. My eventually seven siblings and I matriculated at private Christian schools from grade one all the way through college. Okay, I went to a private boarding academy for high school where we wore blazers and khaki pants and took classes like called Facing Life. Imagine in the 11th grade having a class Facing Life where we had revivals four times a year, where we had obligatory, compulsory chapel attendance. Okay. Because of people in my church who were blessed to be a blessing. One lady from Jamaica, Sister Alberta Brown, beautiful, beautiful lady. When I would leave school, grades 1 through 10, Baltimore Junior Academy, I would go home with her children, 1644 North Bentlow Street, because she didn't want me to have to go to the toxic pathology in the inner city where I would not be distracted in studying and the whole nine yards. Women in the church, my mother was in her 20s, women in the church in their 40s, 50s, became her mentor. When they would shake my mama's hand, I would used to wonder, Mama, why do they use two hands? When they shake your hand and you get a big grin on your face, because they knew my mother was a domestic and that there was no way she could send all of those children through Christian schools without not only the assistance of the church, but their assistance. We were invited home for dinner almost every weekend. I thought we were celebrities. Where are we eating this weekend, Mama? You know. God bless me to be in Washington when many of these women who were mentors of my mother transitioned from time into eternity. There were six of them. Each lived into their 90s. Two of them were over 100. And I had the opportunity to deliver the eulogy at each of the memorial services. It's one of the greatest honors of my mother's mentors, of these people who were blessed to be able to, unsung, many of them, you know, didn't have much education, but they still blessed us. And I had the opportunity of delivering the eulogy at the memorial service of my beloved Alberta Brown. And I wanted people to know what a blessing she had been. And I wanted them to love her as much as I loved her. As I was leaving the church, I overheard two ladies, and they were talking, and one said to the other, "Is Alberta famous? I didn't know Alberta was famous. How in the world did her family get the chaplain of the United States Senate to deliver the eulogy at Alberta's funeral?" And I stopped and turned around and I said, "Ladies," I said, I couldn't help but overhear you. I said, "Let me tell you how the family was able to get Alberta, the chaplain of the United States Senate, to deliver the eulogy at Alberta's funeral. Because no Alberta Brown, no Barry Black as chaplain of the United States Senate. That's how they were able to do it. She had been blessed to be a blessing." And this is what I want to challenge you to do today. Yes, I want to challenge you to help people who have brought trouble on themselves. I want to challenge you to help people from a spectrum of diversity. And I want to challenge you to help them in practical ways, even those in your midst. But I also want to make the Senator Lankford, Senator Scott challenge. This is October, and this is going to be pressing you, that by the new year, you are going to invite someone who does not look like you or sound like you home for dinner. Now, that may take some due diligence, and I know the bar is high. Solution Sunday. But that is what God has laid on my heart to share with you. If you are truly determined to be blessed, to be a blessing like that Samaritan was, that good Samaritan, that's the challenge I want to lay on you. Okay? And don't be calling me in D.C. inviting me to fly back for dinner either. Okay. I want to pray for you if you're willing to make that commitment. And I know that that's a high bar that I'm setting. I realize that. But if you're willing, by the grace of God, it's all about the grace of God, I'm going to commit that before the new year dawns, I'm going to invite someone who doesn't look like me home. And that doesn't mean I'm blonde, I'm going to invite a brunette, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I want you to stand, because I want to pray for you. I want you to stand, and I'm going to, by the grace of God, by the new year, I'm going to participate in the experiment of Solution Sunday. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whole lot of meals going to be cooked in it. Praise the Lord. Okay. Kimberly, you're clear, because I was over your house last night, so you already see, you and the senator are clear, I think. Okay, praise the Lord. No, that doesn't count. They're standing. They're going to, yeah, okay. Let's pray. This is exciting, Lord, to see this outpouring of love and faith and optimism that so many of your children should stand and say, yes, by the grace of God, I'm going to be blessed to be a blessing. And I'm going to have someone at my table who doesn't look like me, but is my brother and my sister in Christ Jesus. Seal this commitment with the robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Give God a hand praise. Praise the Lord.